إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, this is going to be the continuation of the explanation of the book Muntaq al-Akhbar by Sheikh Majduddin Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah. We stopped where the Sheikh says وعن سفيان الثوري عن عبد الله بن محمد بن عقيل حدثني ربيع بن معوذ بن عفرة فذكر حديث وضوء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ربيع بدأ of معوذ the son of Afra reported the hadith concerning the ablution of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wafihi, in that hadith which was reported by Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and some others, in that hadith, وَفِيهِ وَمَسَعَ رَأْسَهُ بِمَا بَقِيَ مِنْ وَضُوئِهِ فِي يَدَيْهِ مَرَّتَيْنِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wiped his head, which he left over water, بِمَا بَقِيَ مِنْ وَضُوئِهِ, that is what was left of his ablution water, في يديه, in his hands, مرتين, twice. بدأ بمؤخره, started with the last part, ثم رده إلى ناصيتي, then took it to the foredge, that is the forelock. وغسل رجليه ثلاثة and he washed his two legs three times. Al-Imam Ahmad recorded this hadith, likewise Abu Dawood, mukhtasaran, that is in a summarized form. Walawduhu is wadin anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam مَسَأَ رَاسَهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ مَاءٍ كَانَ بِيَدِهِ. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wiped his edge from or with the leftover water in his hand. قَالَ التِّرْمِذِيُّ, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi said, Abdullah ibn Muhammad bin Aqil Saduq, Abdullah the son of Muhammad the son of Aqil is Saduq, Saduq is a person whose report is in the level of Hassan. If somebody reports a hadith and the person is said to be Saduq, degrading of that hadith will be Hassan. So he said, he is what? He is Saduq. So that is the statement of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi alayhi rahmatullah. Falaysa, the Sheikh said, وَلَكِنْ تَكَلَّمَ فِيهِ بَعْضُهُ مِنْ كِبَلِ حِفْظِ. But some of the scholars of hadith, they disparaged him. They disparaged him due to his what? His hifz. Due to his hifz. They disparaged him due to his hifz. So at times, the scholars of hadith may say somebody is saduqun yukhti. Saduqun yukhti or saduqun yahib. It's somebody whose hadith ordinarily is Hassan, but at times he makes some mistakes. So this is to tell us how the scholars of hadith have been able to preserve the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will tell us about every individual from the reporters. So the one who is what? Thiqa. They say it's thiqa. The one, at times some of them will say what? Thiqatun thiqa. At times they say what? So and so is what? It's such. All these are wordings that they use to say the hadith of somebody is sahih. And if the person is somebody who has khifa to touch, that is retention is not as strong as the retention of the first person mentioned, the first category. So they say he is what? He is Saduq. And if they say he is Saduq, if you find him in the chain of hadith, that brings the hadith to the level of Hassan. So, and if the person is hadith, the person is Saduq, but he has a lot of mistakes as well, or he has some mistakes, that may also affect his hadith. Huh? It may also affect the hadith. So, they said here that they said Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi alayhi rahmatullah said concerning the person, وَلَكِنْ تَكَلَّمَ فِيهِ بَعْضُهُ مِنْ كِبَالِ حِفْظِ. وَقَالَ الْبُخَارِي, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, كَانَ أَحْمَدُ إِسْحَاقُ وَالْحُمَيْدِي يَحْتَجُّونَ بِحَدِيثِ. Al-Imam Ahmad, likewise Ishaq bin Rahway, or as some will call him, Ishaq bin Rahuya. So, Al-Humaydi and Al-Humaydi, Abdullah bin Zubair Al-Humaydi, one of the teachers of Al-Bukhari, يَحْتَجُّونَ بِحَدِيثِ, they will make use of his hadith. Meaning his hadith is what? Is Hassan. Qultu, he said, I said, فَعَلَى تَقْدِيرِ أَنْ يَثْبُتَ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَسْحَ رَاسَهُ بِمَا بَقِيَ مِنْ بَلَلِ يَدَيْهِ. Open with the assumption that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wiped his head with what was left in his hand, that is, what was left in his hand of wetness. Let's assume that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that. فَلَيْسَ يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ تَهُورِيَّةِ الْمَاءِ الْمُسْتَعَمَلِ. That does not indicate that used water can be used for purification. used water can be used for purification. Let's assume that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wiped his head with the wetness that was left in his hands. The Sheikh says that is not an evidence that one can make use of what used water for purification. Is it fair? لأن الماء كلما تنقل في محل تطهير أو تطهير من غير مفارقة إلى غيرها فعمله وتطهيره باقي. He said, if water, whenever water moves from one side of purification to another side, without dropping. Take for instance, if I wash my face, I use water to wash my face. I start from this place and I take it down without the water dropping. You get it now? It's the same water that I've used to wash this side of my face that is dropping, coming down the face, but not separating from the skin. Take for instance, if I take water and I wash my face and some drops fall down. The author is saying this, that one is different from when some drops did not fall down. Rather, the water, what's supposed to be drops, are just falling on what? The skin, coming down the skin like that without being separated from the skin. The author is trying to differentiate between the two. So if Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wiped his head with the leftover water, so to say, with the leftover water, the Sheikh said, so that doesn't mean that one can make use of the used water. You get it? لأن الماء كلما تنقل في محل تطهير من غير مفارقة إلى غيرها. As the water is moving from one place to another without being separated, فعمله وتطهيره باقي. So it can be used for what? تطهير. ولهذا لا يقطر عمله في هذه الحال تغير بالنجاسات والطهارات. So it's still functional, so to say. So the fact that you are using it to wash or remove najasat does not mean it can no longer function. You get it? So what the author did here is just to justify their position. You know, we say the position of the Hanabila is that the water that you use to perform ablution or to take ghusl of janaba or ghusl of hajj or ghusl of nifas, that water, if it falls and is gathered somewhere, that same water has become ma'un musta'amal. It has become what? Ma'un musta'amal. And the position of the Hanabila is that ma'un musta'amal la yurfa'u bihi al-hadath. You cannot use it to lift al-hadath. That is the abstract impurity. You cannot use it to lift the abstract impurity. So what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What happened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Here, the author did not see it as something that justifies using used water. When we say used water, that is water that has been used to take ghuslu of janaba or ghuslu of haid or nifas or to perform ablution. So the author says it is not an evidence, because the water is just coming down the skin or the body, not that it has been separated from the body. So, but wallahu alam, as you have said, the position of the Malikiya is the correct position here. That the water that has been used, that water can still be used, only that it is the tested. But is it tahur? Yes, it's tahur, because nothing has changed it. إِنَّ الْمَاءَ طَهُورٌ لَا يُنَجِّسُهُ شَيْءٍ. Because what has fallen into it, maybe the sweat that has mixed with the water, sweat is not something that is impure. So what has mixed with the water is not an impurity in the Sharia. So in that case, we will say the water is still pure. But is it okay? Is it advisable to be used? It's not something that is encouraged. Just like we said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one should not take ghusl of janaba in stagnant water. That does not mean that if you take ghusl of janaba in stagnant water, the water has become what? Impure. Or the water has become what? Tahir, ghayru mutahir, as the jumhur will say, that you can no longer use it. You can still use it, as you have said, because when you take your wudu or your ghuslu, that does not make the water filthy. Unless if something filthy falls into it and it changes it, either in color or odor or taste. How this is clear. But despite that, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said we should not do that. Don't take ghuslu of janaba in stagnant water. Don't urinate in stagnant water. That does not mean that if you urinate in stagnant water that is much more than two kulla, as you said. Maybe in a swimming pool, for instance, now, water that is as much as a swimming as that of a swimming pool, you urinate inside the water, it does not make it what? Filthy, because the water is much. But despite that, is not something that is okay. The Son of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يبلن أحدكم في الماء الدائم أو في الماء الراكد الذي لا يجري ثم يكتسل فيه. Then he takes his bath in it. How this is clear? If you urinate there, even if that does not change the water now to najis, another person comes, urinates in it, with time it becomes what? Najis. With time it turns what? Najis. So for the fact that it's stagnant, it's not water that is flowing, the more you make use of it, the more it becomes what? Dirty. Either dirty in the aspect that it may cause disease, or maybe dirty in the aspect of what? Being filthy that you cannot use for purification. So the Sharia protects both ways. And that's the Messenger of Allah said, do not take bath in stagnant water. Do not urinate in stagnant water. How this is clear. But if one performs ablution from that stagnant water in which there is urine, or in which somebody has taken his bath, does that mean the ablution is not valid? The answer, according to the Malikiya, is no. Why? Because it has not changed the color, the odor, or the taste. And with respect to taking the bath of janaba or performing ablution, we say the hadath is not najasa, that is what? That is isiya. So it remains like that. However, if the water is more than two kulla, the Shafi'i and the Hanabila, they say if one performs ablution in it, the ablution is what? Is intact. Why the Hanafiya said, no, it must be much, to the extent that if you shake this side, it will not affect the other side. How this is clear. So some are rich. They all abhor you urinating or taking bath in stagnant water. Even if it's much, it's not okay. But if you do that, does that mean make the water impure? So they differ on what? On the level that the water is. But the Malikiya, they stick to what? Changing of the water's color, or its taste, or its odor. Binajasatin tahduthu fi. That is, being affected by a najasa that falls in it. And say this is what? The way there's opinion on this matter. So what the author has said here is just to defend the madhab of the Hanabila, the position of the Hanabila. So what the author has said here is to defend the position of the Hanabila. And the position of the Hanabila is not the wealthiest opinion here. Wallahu a'lam. The Sheikh says, Bab arad ala man ja'ala ma yaktarifu minhu al-mutawaddi ba'da ghasli wajhihi musta'malan. So a refutation of the one who makes the water that one scoops from it after one has that is you take from it to perform ablution or to do ghuslu, after somebody has washed his face from it, so who declares the water to be what? Musta'amal. You know, we said that if one performs ablution from a water, that water has become what? Musta'amal. That is, if it is just a bowl, for instance. But if it is much, like two kulla, or more than that, according to the Hanafiya, there is no musta'amal. So the Sheikh says, الرد على من جعل ما يقترف منه المتوضي بعد غسل وجهه مستعملا. Now you are putting your hand in the bowl, for instance. You are performing ablution. You take from that water, as the water left become musta'amal. You know, we said the one that is falling is musta'amal. But the one you are taking from it, is it musta'amal? And Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim, أنه قيل له توضع لنا وضوء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. عبد الله بن زيد بن عاصم was asked, توضع لنا وضوء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Perform the ablution of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم for us. فدعا بإناء, he called for the bowl. فأقفى منه على يدي. He bent it. That is, he bent the bowl to pour water on his hands. فَغَسَلَهُمَا ثَلَاثًا, he washed them three times. ثُمَّ أَدْخَلَ يَدَهُ, he inserted his hands. فَاسْتَخْرَجَهَا, he brought it out. فَمَضَّ مَضَّ, then he rinsed his mouth. وَاسْتَنْشَقَ مِنْ كَفٍّ وَاحِدَةٍ, so he rinsed his mouth and inhaled and exhaled water from just a handful of water. فَفَعَلَ ذَلِكَ ثَلَاثًا, he did that three times. ثُمَّ أَكَلَ يَدَهُ, then he inserted his hand in the water again. فَاسْتَخْرَجَهَا, then he brought it out. فَغَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ ثَلَاثًا, he washed his face three times. ثُمَّ أَكَلَ يَدَهُ فَاسْتَخْرَجَهَا, then he inserted his hand and brought it out again. فَغَسَلَ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى الْمِرْفَقَيْنِ, he washed his two hands up to the elbows. Ratain, twice. Huh? Twice. The ones that he did before, how many times? Three times. The washing of the hands, how many times? Twice. ثُمَّ أَدْخَلَ يَدَهُ فَاسْتَخْرَجَهَا فَمَسَحَ رَأْسَهُ فَأَقْبَلَ بِيَدَيْهِ وَأَدْبَرَ. Then he put his hand again, he brought it out, he wiped his edge, taking it to the back and the front. ثم غسل رجليه إلى الكعبين, after that he washed his two legs. Huh? That of the head, how many times? Just once, back and front. Then the leg, how many times? Huh? Once. ثم قال هكذا كان وضوءه, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, this is the ablution of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muttafaqun alayhi, agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. وَلَفْضُهُ لِأَحْمَدَ وَمُسْلِمٍ. The wording is the wording of Al-Imam Ahmad and the wording of Muslim. So meaning the way he was putting his hand in the bow, that does not make the bow musta'amal. That doesn't make the bow, the water in the bow musta'amal until he uses it to watch, to bath or to perform ablution. So what drops then will be musta'amal. You know, the author has said if it has not dropped, you are still using it to rub, it's not yet musta'amal. And if you take water now, you use it, you pour it, and you are taking it down your hand, taking it up towards the elbow. So the water that you have put on your hand is what you are using towards to rub every part of the hand. So can we call the other one musta'amal? The author said, well, that is not musta'amal. So as for as for the one that is left in the what in the bowl, so that is also what is not musta'amal. So the one that is musta'amal is the one that is dropping, that is the musta'amal. So the Sheikh uses this hadith in order to tell us that you don't call that musta'amal. So we are still going to talk about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed ablution. But he also just trying to tell us on water, how to manage water. Some of these things that you are teaching, you may not know the importance until you find yourself in a situation like that. Now we want to perform ablution, for instance, you see tap running, you perform ablution. But at times you don't see tap running. So you need what? You need a kettle. What has happened to the kettle? Maybe somebody has used it, what, in a way that the madhab of the Hanabila will not take whatever is put in that kettle as what you can use for ablution. I hope it's clear. Aha. So, and that's why we ought to understand some of these things. When you find yourself in a situation like that, you know how to relate. And that's why you have to have a position now. What is your position? What is your conviction? Are you with the position of the Hanabila, stroke the Shafi'iyya, or you are with the position of the Malikiyya, or you are the position of the Hanafi? You have to take a position now. Because one day you find yourself in a situation like this. You have a drum of water, for instance, now. Or let's say you have a reservoir, which is about, let's say, 200 liters, for instance. And maybe a rat falls in it, or a bird, yes, a bird falls in that reservoir. You know, at times when it is raining, or is about to rain, and the breeze is very, the wind is very heavy, at times it takes off the lid of that reservoir, and you won't know that the lid has been washed. So you just have a reservoir of water exposed to the watch, to the open air. Then a bird comes and watch, and the bird eventually dies in that reservoir. And you are not aware you are using it. When you see the water, you see that, oh, this is a bird that has died in this reservoir. What happens to what? The water there? The water in that reservoir, can you still use it or not? Now you have found yourself in a situation like that. Can you use it or not? This is a dead bird in the reservoir, and there is water there. Can you use it or not? إن الماء طهور لا ينجس شيء. What if or unless what? Unless if it changes what? Because the dead bed has become what? A fuse. The dead bed is a fuse. When the bed is alive, it's what? It's fine. It's not najis. But the animals, when they die, they become what? Fusy. Except some, like what? Al-Jarat. Like the locust, for instance. Or animals without blood. But animals with blood, like rat, for instance, like bird, so if they fall in something that is tahir, you die inside it, and that thing becomes what? Ghayru tahir, becomes najis. So now you now say, okay, najasa has fallen in a reservoir of water. If you want to go by the madhab of the Malikiya, you'll be looking at, as the color, the taste, or the odor changed. If no, you say, according to the Malikiya, you can still use it. If you want to go by the madhab of the Hanabila, so the Shafi'iyah, it's okay, this reservoir, is it up to 2 kulla? Is it up to 2 kulla? If yes, then you can use it. The Hanafis, oh, you can use it. Because that reservoir is not that much. The water, there is not that much that when you shake this side, it will not affect. Now you have found yourself in a situation like that. So as we are treating this thing, it's not something that we are just treating for treating's sake. You can find yourself. And you have to have a mazhab. Not that it was you jump from one mazhab to the other. Are you a Maliki or you are a Shafi'i / Hanbali on this matter? Or you are a Hanafi? So that's why you have to study and take the one that is what? Wavious. The one that convinces you, you take it and push it. You take it and what? And you push it. When you see somebody who doesn't take what? Your own view, is convinced with the madhab of the Hanafi / what? Or the Hanafi or the Ambari / the Shafi'i. But you must know where they are coming from and where you are also coming from. Somebody gives you fatwa, you don't know where the person that gives you fatwa is coming from. So, and that's why it is good. We take it, we know this thing. And the more you are well grounded in the faith, the calmer you are. If you are not well grounded in faith, you don't know the mazahib, you will be rigid on issue. And if you are not a student of knowledge, it is easy for people to make jest of you. A student of knowledge who has taken a position will know that this position that I've taken, there are other positions whose evidences are also strong, though I'm not convinced. But somebody who is an army, for instance, a layman. When I say a layman, as far as what the Sharia is concerned, he may be an engineer, he may be a medical doctor, he may be a lawyer, he may be this. But a layman, as far as what the Sharia is concerned. So when he hears from one malam, and the malam has just presented to him his own view, without making him aware that there are other views, then becomes what? Rigid. In fact, he may be ready to fight you when he hears you say something contrary to what he has heard from another malam. So that's why the more you are what exposed, the calmer you are. This that you are talking about has to do with the issue of what? The fake. As for issue of aqidah / manhaj, the people of sunnah, they have what? The aqidah, and they have what? Their manhaj. But when it comes to fake, even the people of sunnah, they differ on some things. And you cannot resolve it. You cannot resolve that difference of opinion. You will take what you are convinced of and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it. So, and that's why you see them saying what? Rais wa. My opinion is correct. يحتمل الخطأ. It may be wrong. ورأي غيري خطأ. The opinion of other than me or myself is what is wrong. يحتمل الصواب. It may be what? It may be right. How this is clear? So it is good that you know your position now. You know your position. Don't just see it as if why are they differing? Why are they differing? If it is something that is easy for them to be unanimous on, you'll be unanimous on it. But they differ because it's something that is difficult for them to be unanimous on. So each of them, they take what they are convinced of. So inshallah, we stop here. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. We'll start with the questions. If you have questions, please send it forward. This question says, Assalamu alaikum. May Allah be with you. What of the case of excessful chlorine in water for purifying the water when in turn changes the odor?
No, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulullah wabarak. Now, chlorine is clean. It's not a fuse. And as you said, as long as you can still call it water, then you can use it according to which mazhab? According to the Malikiya. As long as what you can still call it water. So when you can no longer call it water, the way you can no longer call Coke, Pepsi, Fanta, water. So if chlorine that is added as is so much to the extent that you can no longer call the water, then it is no more water. I hope this clear. Allahu a'lam.
The second question says, forgetting to say Bismillah, does it nullify ablution?
Now, forgetting to say Bismillah, according to the Jumhur, does not nullify ablution because it is mustahab to say it. However, in the Madhab of the Hanabila, it is compulsory to say Bismillah before performing ablution. So, and that's why you see some of the scholars, they are of the opinion that if you do not say it, you have no ablution. That is the position of Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah. However, before finishing the ablution, if you remember, then you can say it. Just like somebody who does not say say Bismillah at the beginning of food, he remembers in the middle or in the course of eating, then he can say it. So the said Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La salata liman la udu'a la, wa la udu'a liman lam yadhkur isma Allahi alayhi. There is no salah for the one who has no ablution, and no ablution for the one who does not mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while performing it. This hadith, scholars differ on the authenticity. So those who authenticated it, they said, وَلَا أُدُوءَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ is لَا أُدُوءَ كَامِلْ not the la is not negating the ablution completely. It's negating what al-kamal. Because if la is used in the Arabic language, it will be nafiul ujud, negating the what? The existence or presence of a thing. So if I say la salata liman lam yaqra bi fatihatil kitab, there is no salah for the one who does not recite suratul fatiha, for instance, and somebody is praying, you see there is wujud of salah. So that la should not be understood to mean no prayer, because there is prayer, somebody is praying. It may mean nafyu asiha, that is, yes, it's there, but it's not authentic, it's not valid. And at times it may be what? Nephew or command. It's there, it's okay, it's valid, but it's not complete. So which one are we going to take? Wala udu aliman lam yadkur smallahi alayhi. Is it nafyu siha, nafyu al-ujud, or nafyu al-kamal? So some take it to be nafyu al-kamal. Why some say that this in fact is not authentic? Sheikh al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah authenticated the hadith and said it is nafyu siha, unless if the person remembers before he finishes the ablution. Wallahu alam, I prefer to be with the those who say what is nafyu al-kamal, or to say with the jumhur who say the sin of bismillah is mustahab. Those who say the sin of bismillah is mustahab did not really rely on the hadith. They did something of qiyas. If it is said that somebody wants to have sexual intercourse with his wife, should say what? Bismillah. Huh? Allahumma jannibna shaitan wa jannib shaitana marzaqtana. So the idea is that if the one who wants to have sexual intercourse with his wife is asked to say Bismillah, what about the person who wants to perform ablution? That this will be what? Aula. The one who wants to enter the toilet, for those who believe that the hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Satru ma baina a'yunil jinni wa 'urati bani Adam idha dakhala ahadum al-khala an yaqula bismillah." What screens the jinn from seeing the nudities of the children of Adam, but when one of them enters the privy, he should say what? Bismillah. So if one is asked to say Bismillah, what about ablution? So the deed is clear as well. In addition to the hadith, la salat al-man lam yadkur, liman la udu ala wa la udu aliman lam yadkur smallahi alihi. So wallahu alam, the position of those who say it is what? It is wajib, to the extent that if one does not say it, the ablution is not valid. It has weight. However, to be with the jumhur in this, wallahu alam, is more convincing. Wallahu alam.
Now, this last question is is a bit going to be, I don't know, but it says, what is Salafiyah and the Salafiyah sect?
Salafiyah is an ascription to the Salaf. Salafiyah is an ascription to the Salaf. Who are the Salaf? The Salaf in the Arabic language is any person that precedes you. Any person that precedes you, he is your Salaf. Any person that precedes you, he is your Salaf. If somebody precedes you in doing something, he is your Salaf as far as that is concerned. So the Salaf are those who preceded us in Islam. These are our Salaf, headed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, and the Tabi'un, and the Atba'u Tabi'in. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Khayrun nas qarni, the best of the people are my generation. Thumma alladhina yalunahum, thumma alladhina yalunahum. Then those who follow them, then those who follow them. So what is not contestable is that the best Islam a person can practice is the Islam of the Salaf. Allah says, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ. If they believe in exactly what you believe in, they are guided. But if they turn away from that, they will be shikok. They will be opposing the truth, and they will be opposing one another. And that's why the Muslims today, we are divided. Why are we divided? Because we turn away from the teachings of the pious predecessors. So, and that's why it's not something that is debatable. Your Islam is not in line with the Islam of the pious predecessor. Your Islam is what? It's 40. Are you not telling me that your own Islam is as perfect as that of the pious predecessors? No. We are trying to do that. So let us try together. Let us throw away and shun blind following of the shuyukh and blind following of the Aba, our fathers. We should follow the pious predecessors. So this is what Salafiyah. And that's why Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah who say the people yukhalifunana wa la yastati'una an yukhalifuna. They what? They disagree with us, but they cannot disagree with us. Because when you ask somebody, this Islam that you are practicing, where did you get it? If you say from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, let's check if what you are doing is exactly what the Messenger of Allah did. If it's not in conformity with what the Messenger did and his companions, then it means it's faulty. You have to watch. You have to adjust. But if you find it to be in line with what the Messenger did, then that is what? The true Islam. So As-Salafiyyah is an ascription to the Salaf. As-Salafiyyah to hear Islam, well, Islam was Salafiyyah. Just as you can say, As-Sunnatu hiya al-Islam, wal-Islamu wa sunnah. So when we say al-Islam here, we are talking about the real Islam, not the adulterated Islam. So you cannot go against Salafiyyah unless you are deceiving yourself. But you can tell me that you so-and-so that you have ascribed yourself to Salafiyyah, you are not really a Salafi. How? Then you tell me, you bring the evidences, you are doing this, and all this that you are doing are not in line with the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the understanding of the companions and their students and their students. Very simple. And that's why Shaykh Uthaymeen ibn Taymiyyah said, La aiba ala man adhara madhab al-salaf. Somebody that ascribed himself or proclaim the madhab of Salaf. Somebody says, I'm a Salafi. Is there any fault in that? You don't blame somebody, you don't curse him, you don't abuse him, you don't rebuke him for ascribing himself to the Salaf. No, you don't blame somebody for that. La aiba ala man hadhara madhab al-salaf wa antasaba ilayhi wa ataza ilayhi. Somebody ascribing himself to the Salaf is not a blameworthy ascription. He said, "Bal yajibu qabulu dhalika minhu bil-ittifaq." You have to accept that from him. You are a Salafi. Okay, no problem. I don't have a problem with you. فَإِنَّ مَذْعَبَ السَّلَفِ لَا يَكُنُ إِلَّا حَقًّا. Because the mother of the Salaf is nothing but the truth. Now the aspect you can watch, you cannot undo him or taking up over, is if you see anything that goes against what the Salaf are upon, that is where you quarrel with him. Then you have called yourself a Salafi, that you are a follower of the Salaf as-Salih. But you are doing so and so, it goes against what the Salaf as-Salih are upon. So if you see, point it out. And this will fall under what? وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَا فِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. This is what we are supposed to be doing. I see your thoughts, that you are supposed to correct. I call your attention, you see mine, you call my attention. I should be submissive when it is proven. You should be submissive when it is proven. But this is missing today among the people. When somebody criticizes you for something, then you take what? You take offense. Instead of you what, accepting the truth when it is clear to you, you don't mind throwing away the truth and watch and watch and pick up a fight with that person. And that's the problem we are facing today in our society. I don't want to bend, you don't want to bend. So Salafia is simple. It's simple. So that is what? An ascription to the Salaf. So I think this is clear. So you can say somebody is not a Salafi. You are not a Salafi. Why? So and so evidences. But are you saying because it's not a Salafi, it's going to hellfire, it's going to dwell hellfire forever? This type of attack is unwarranted. It's not needed. It's just like what Ibn Taymiyyah wrote his book, Al-Aqidat al-Wasitiyah, and he was summoned before the ruler. The Ash'ari and the likes who are seated, he said, are you telling us with this that it is only people like this that believe in this that you have written, that we go to Al-Jannah, every other people will go to hellfire? He said, I didn't say that in it. I'm only telling you that this is what the Salaf al-Salih were upon. And if anybody is able to bring evidence from the Salaf that goes against what I'm reading, I will change it. I give you 3 years to go and bring what evidence that contradicts these that are what written here. But I'm not telling you that you go to hellfire because, but this is what the Salaf al-Salih, this is what they are upon. Simple. So you prove that this that you have written is not what the Salaf are upon. Prove that this that you are saying is not what the Salaf are upon. It's something that you can discuss. And if you know that, okay, I personally that ascribe myself to this, you are also guilty of so and so, tell me, let me change it. But for you to say, let us leave everybody, why should we leave everybody to be doing what they are doing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَىٰ لِسَانِ دَاوُدَ وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. What follows? كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ فَعَلُوا لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Some people were caused by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they will not correct one another. So some people wanted to keep mute. Don't correct anybody. Don't say, no, you are, what you are doing is wrong. Let everybody do theirs. Let everybody do theirs. So this is what? This is not Islam. And this is not the way of the Salaf. So we have to do al-amru bil ma'ruf wa nahyu anil munkar. But you do it in the best of what? Manner. But for you to keep mute, no. That is not Islam. And that can never be Islam. Wallahu a'lam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.